Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Lancer Witness. I'm glad you're with me. This is the introductory show for Lancer Witness. I'm the host, Joe Seifert. I've essentially been commissioned by Deacon Pat, the leader of the Faith Pillar and the Alumni Leadership Council. Deacon Pat is the deacon of St. John Newman. It's a parish that I actually belong to at the intersection of Mill and John Gray Roads, kind of at the intersection. But who I am isn't really the important thing. The important question is, who are we? The title of the show is Lancer Witness. How are we, the LaSalle community, witnessing to the world, essentially, to each other, to our families, even to ourselves? Who are we? Who are we as men, sons, fathers, brothers, husbands? Who are we? And how is your spirit? How is your spirit tonight? What I hope that this show will do is build the faith of our community, to help build the faith of our community. We have so many tools available to us in this day and age, but I think what we a lot of times miss is the home, the local. This show is all about LaSalle. It's about the LaSalle community. It's about brother to brother. It's about our journey together as alumni, as students, faculty, staff, friends of LaSalle. We have sister schools, and we have extended family who married into the LaSalle community. That's who this show is for. And I hope that we're all able to build each other up. I really hope that this show is part of the path that we all want to take. And maybe a better way to phrase it is, I hope this is something that helps you and helps me and helps us all. Because what is our faith? What is that? Well, essentially, it's the most important part of our life. Ultimately, it's the most important part of your life. And unfortunately, most of us don't look at it that way. Our faith is something off in the distance. It's something abstract. It's something that we'll get to later. It's something we're not sure about often. You know, is God even really out there? When the LaSallian Catholic institution has a faith-based show, you wouldn't expect to hear that maybe, but let's face it, we all struggle. We all struggle with our faith from time to time, and we all need reassurance. We all need to hear, because God is very quiet, and the world is very loud. The world screams at us constantly things that are against our faith, against the things that we're taught through our Catholic tradition, through the Bible, through our families and our parents. Everything that we've learned about faith often is attacked by society. And unless we have a venue that we can go to and help build our faith is going to suffer and hopefully not wither and die. We need to feed our faith just like we feed our bodies. You know, we feed our bodies nutritious food in order to sustain our lives. We would never expect to be a healthy person eating cake for breakfast, ice cream for lunch, and candy for dinner. It's ridiculous, but, you know, I think essentially that's what we do with our spirits a lot of times. We're looking at our spirit like we don't really need to feed it like we feed our bodies. But our spirit is the most important aspect of our life. I mean, when we think about it, ultimately, life is short. You know, if you are completely fortunate, you may have 100 years on the earth. Well, 100 years compared to eternity is nothing. You know, I like to look at it. I talk to my kids about this every once in a while, but if you were to wager, I know as Catholics, we never place a bet anytime, so, but hypothetically, if you were to place a bet, would you ever wager $1,000 for the chance to win $1? Of course not. That's ridiculous. But that's essentially what we do when we don't pay attention to the things of the Spirit. We're ignoring the most important part of our life while paying most attention to all these things that really don't matter. Because in the big scheme of things, sports doesn't matter. Movies don't matter. You know, drama at the office doesn't matter. Drama at home doesn't matter. What ultimately matters is our spirit, because we hope to one day spend eternity with God in heaven, obviously. So why would you wager $1,000 for the chance to win $1? And that's what we do. If we take 100 years of our life and live it completely heathenistically, you are gambling away eternity, essentially. If your faith isn't strong, you don't even necessarily believe in God and everything, and so you just whisk it away based on the pleasures of this world or getting ahead or whatever it may be. But ultimately, what's most important is our spirit, because that's where our existence is. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. We're primarily spirit. The spirit resides within our bodies and our minds. And this body of ours has a shelf life. It's only going to last so long, but our spirit is eternal. So when we pay attention to things of the body and when we pay attention to the problems of this world, we're neglecting the primary. If you want to think of it as like a hierarchy, your spirit is primary, your mind and your body would be secondary, tertiary, you know, further on down, maybe your emotions, and a lot of times we let our emotions control and make decisions for us, but really, if you think of it in a hierarchical standpoint, you know, the spirit is primary. It should rule over your mind, it should rule over your body, it should rule over your emotions. Yet we let emotions dictate how we make decisions a lot of times. We make an emotional decision. That's what marketers count on, essentially. They want us to make an emotional decision to part us with our hard-earned money to buy their product. So they make an emotional pitch on television or the radio or in person to try to get us to spend our money on their product. So emotions can be very powerful, but they should be subservient to our spirits. Our spirits should be dominant over our emotions. And likewise, our minds, even though we have the ability to think and we have the ability to make logical decisions and those types of things, where are we going with that? You see all sorts of geniuses throughout the world who are 100% atheist. So obviously they have allowed their minds to overrule their spirits by not allowing the truth of their spirit that we all have within us to overrule the logic of their minds. Because most people don't think that you can prove, you know, supernatural or spiritual things, the world, and they would be correct. The spiritual world, the realm of the spirit, is at a higher plane, essentially, than our physical world is, just as our spirits within our bodies is a higher plane than our physical body is. So, in my personal opinion, the mistake that a lot of people who lack faith that are much more intelligent than I am, the primary mistake that they're making is that they are limiting their ability to see the spirit with our physical world, our physical universe, by the laws that are established in the physical plane as opposed to the spiritual plane being higher. Well, if you don't have the ability to think above our physical universe, then obviously you're going to have problems justifying a spiritual plane or a spiritual universe where God resides. And God resides within us, within our hearts, within our bodies even, when we receive Him in the Eucharist. And He has that personal relationship with us. And a lot of times, you know, if we close our eyes and listen, and like I said earlier, where God is quiet and the world is loud, you know, He whispers into our hearts. But how often do we allow ourselves to get quiet, to be quiet? So often, you know, we're distracted by television. I'm a little more old school. I still watch television, but I understand there's a newfangled thing called the internet out there. But how often are we distracted by our cell phones and all the different things that are available out there, you know, like sports and movies and entertainment of all sorts. Some entertainment that's not so enriching, shall we say, that a lot of people get distracted by, especially men. All these things are out there. They're all very noisy, and it's very difficult to hear God when you're constantly bombarding yourself with noise. So I think one of the primary things we really need to do in order to feed our spirits is to simply get quiet. You know, a lot of people look at church as an obligation, but it's such a great opportunity because it's one of the few places we can go nowadays to actually get quiet, to be able to hear God. Top of that He's physically present in the Eucharist is what we believe as Catholics, that He's physically there with us. And He can speak to us in the quiet of that environment of church. So, you know, as I was growing up, I looked at it that way, where church was an obligation, is something you had to do. God was this guy that made all these rules that you had to follow, and if you didn't follow them, you were a bad person. And I think as Catholics especially, we tend to get caught in that trap, but God is anything but this guy that makes a bunch of rules and just wants us to follow them. God is a loving Father. You know, and it really was hard for me to understand that until I was a dad. When you have children of your own, you finally can understand what the love of a father really means. And I'm human. I'm flawed. I have all sorts of flaws. But God is our Father. He's not flawed. He's perfect. and as a perfect being, as a perfect creator, talks about God and describes him in so many ways. God is love. You know, that's one of the ways that the Bible describes it. He is love. He's perfect love. So if he's perfect love, how much better and more perfectly can he love us as his children than we can love even our very own children? And it's hard to imagine, as a dad, that anyone could love my kids more than I do, not counting the time that they're almost 12-year-old girls. No, just kidding. But seriously, God can love us perfectly. So if God can love us perfectly, and I know how much I love my kids, how much more can God love us? He is a loving father. So that's something we really need to settle in our minds, that God is a loving God. And honestly, the rules that are out there, they're there to protect us, to lead us in righteousness. And it's to save our souls for eternity, but it's also to guide us in this light. I mean, you think about the sin of adultery, for example. It's kind of an extreme sin, but think about your marriage. If you commit the sin of adultery, you are seriously jeopardizing the life of your marriage. God is life. That's another way the Bible describes him. And so if we follow his ways, then we follow the ways of life and of love. And if we don't follow his ways, you can infer that if he is life, that when you sin, you are following the ways of death. So proverbially speaking, a little tough for me to say, but if you committed the sin of adultery, for example, you are going to create a death-like situation in your marriage, and it's going to have to be resurrected in order for it to survive. But we can see these things in every single sin that God has laid out before us. The sin of gluttony, for example, you could say that about drinking too much alcohol, or you could say it about even drinking too much soda. You could say it about eating too much, or you can say it about pursuing pleasures to a degree and a level that's too high, even. Some activities that we participate in, say sports, for example. If we participate in a healthy level of sports, that's exactly what it is. It feeds us, we grow from it, and it's good for us. But if we take sports to the extreme and gamble and spend time away from our families, then that love of sports can even be an addiction and can tear up our souls. So, you know, God is laying out these rules for us in order to keep us happy, to keep us healthy, to keep us in line with life, to keep us away from death and the ways of sin. So the way you look at life is very, very important. If you don't look correctly at life, then you're always going to be miserable, in a sense. Think about what you may be good at. There's someone that's always going to be better than that particular thing than you most times, unless you happen to be Peyton Manning, the best quarterback in the league, or, you know, one of the top scientists, for example, and just whatever field you happen to be interested in. But essentially, unless you're that guy or that woman, somebody is going to be better than you, right? So you can look at it like, well, this guy's better than me, so I'm going to be miserable. Or you can look at it like, well, I'm pretty good. So it's like how you think about it is very important to how your perspective of life is. There's always going to be somebody more desperate than you, financially or health-wise. And if that's the case, you have gifts that they don't have. But if you look at it with a grateful heart, well, I'm healthy. You know, I have more money than somebody in Haiti does. You know, it's easy to get on our lack. You know, I'm too fat, or I have trouble paying my bills. well, at least we have a roof over our head, or at least we have food. And you can really take that, you know, that analogy out further and further. Some people, maybe they have a digestive issue, but they can still think well. So they can be grateful for that, because there's people with learning disabilities, and there's people whose minds have been damaged by stroke or whatever. So that perspective of your life is very important, and how you look at your life, because that is one of the keys to joy, is to being satisfied with what God has given you. We all strive for excellence. We always want the best. And that's good. God has put that in our hearts to strive for excellence. But at the same time, we need to be tempered with being satisfied with the gifts that God has already given us. And that's the key to joy, is to be satisfied with what God has given us. Now, I've kind of gotten off on some tangents, but hopefully you get a feel for what I'm talking about. This is kind of the way that I would like the show to go. As a member of a men's group, I happen to be a member of the Assumptions Men's Group in Mount Healthy. I joined them probably close to 11 years ago now. But the format is laid back. It's casual. And honestly, I think all of us learn from each other constantly. You know, when one guy has a struggle in an area, another guy has an answer. Or when one guy has a success in life, you know, everybody can learn from that or share in the joy of that. You know, every once in a while we'll all come together and help with a project, maybe painting the rectory or working at a festival together. Just, you know, it's a fellowship. And I'm hoping that this show can be a fellowship of the Lancer community, of the greater LaSalle community, because I certainly don't want to limit it to all the students of LaSalle or the alumni of LaSalle, because who we are and our outreach is so much greater. Plus, can access anything on the internet anymore, so your story could get out on the internet and touch somebody else's heart and change their life for the better. So we have the ability to really help people. And I would ask that if anyone is called to share their story, I'll be sharing mine in future episodes. I didn't just get here. Trust me. It's not always an easy journey to find truth. And I am certainly a living example of that. But I hope that we can all come together as a community and grow and strengthen each other. Your story will help me, and my story hopefully will help you. And together, we will change ourselves and hopefully change our community, change our nation, and change our world. Because if you look around, it's not too hard to see that things are bad. And I don't say that in a depressed and negative kind of way. But I'm a little more old school, and I guess, you know, I've seen the way things used to be. And I don't mean this in a back in my day, you know, nothing like that. But you can see things slipping, certainly. Standards on television and the path of the government. I mean, the whole thing with Planned Parenthood is gruesome and grotesque. And I think we can all agree that that shouldn't happen. Our tax dollars shouldn't be forced from our wallets to subsidize somebody else butchering children, chopping them up into bartable commodities and trading them on the market. It's grotesque. It's things that remind you of the Roman Empire back in Jesus' day. And our world is not going in the right direction. And our world needs strong, faith-filled men. Will you be one of those men? Will you be strong for He who called you? Good night, Lancer Nation.